learn to forgive yourself. Learn to forgive yourself, because we really get unhappy about the choice that we made and we start to get down on ourselves. So just, we have to always continue to reassure ourselves that what happened was based on unforeseen circumstances, and try to, you know, rediscover yourself. Just do things differently. And I mean, there was a couple other things. Embrace your new roles in life. Consider transitional relationships. No dating, no rebound dating. It just, be with you, date yourself.
Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project. Certified divorce coach and credentialed mediator Paulette Rigo invites you to grab a favorite beverage, find a cozy seat, soothe your soul, and take a listen. This podcast was created and inspired by our courageous journeys, love for connecting with others, and having meaningful conversations that teach, impact, and heal through sharing our stories. In each episode, Paulette will be joined by some of the most experienced and compelling experts in all things divorce and transformation. Listen to prepare and thrive through the toughest chapters as we reveal our hardships, celebrate our lessons learned, and see the future clearly with encouragement, hope, and joy. Leave feeling empowered and prepared to approach life and maintain our dignity no matter what. Each podcast episode focuses on sharing real conversations from real life situations. Isn't it time you thrived?
Okay.
Hello and welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project, because that's what it's all about. Life is about thriving in the unending list of chaotic situations that life is thrown at us. And today is no exception. I am honored to bring to you Adrienne Bernadette. She is an Instagram phenomenon, a hypnotherapist, and a survivor of a grueling divorce. Welcome to the show, Adrienne.
Hi, Paula. Thanks for having me. I'm very honored to be on your show. I love what you're doing. It's amazing. You're everything. I'm so honored to be on. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, my dear. Well, let me tell you, everybody, I fell in love with this woman before I met her, before we chatted. I just immediately somehow ran into her Instagram. It is called divorce.ontherocks. And that's RX, like prescription, like RX. And she writes, rant, rave, and then get empowered here by freaky tales of divorce, separation, betrayal, and love. May divorce be with you. I don't know who this woman is, but she is my new best friend. And I immediately just have been following her. Check her out, her page. She has an amazing little fun podcast too. It's called Cocktails on the Rocks, spelled RX. And it's funny and sad and whimsical, and she's entertaining. And right now we're going to get into what her story is, why she's sharing her story on social media and a podcast, and so many tips and tools that we both have to share with you. So my dear, let's just summarize. So you filed in 2016, your children-
2017.
Who's counting, yeah. Right? After a while-
I am.
I know, I agree. If you had asked me that question in 2008, I'd be like, oh, it was 2008. Not, yeah.
Exactly. You time and day.
Become focused on, wait, how long have I been enduring this? Right. So right. Now that it's been some time, and let's just maybe look back at your marriage. Yeah. How long were you married? And at what point did you know, okay, this isn't working?
I was married for 19 years, and it was the last, you know, it's funny because it was there was something that had come up. I just had a feeling, you know, I really listened to my intuition, and I always have. And so I just had a feeling, and I just asked him, I said, where are you going tomorrow? He was going on a trip, and he said, what do you mean, where am I going? And that was like, not his character. He's very loving, kind, caring husband towards me. I mean, we had our disagreements. I mean, he was getting grouchy and I just thought he was, you know, getting old. And so, he left and I just had a strange feeling. And I said, can you send me your itinerary? And that morning, actually, I was going to see my therapist because him and I were not getting along. And so he sent me his itinerary, but it was for another woman. So there were, and I still to this day, you know, he says, oh, I sent it to you because I have nothing to hide. I don't think so. I don't think that was the case. I think it was an accident, to be quite honest. But then I still, he denied it. And he's like, oh, no, why would I even have, you know, he would just say things like, oh, why would I even do that? And what, have you seen her? You know, just stuff like that to just dumb it down. And I just kind of just knew. But I couldn't obviously prove it. He was denying it. And so I said, you know what? I'm a grown woman. I was actually going through getting my bachelor's degree in psychology. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to believe him. I've always trusted him. I never really questioned him or his loyalty. But so after that, while he was there, I had called him and I said, I got the itinerary and it has your designer's name on it. And he said, and he just went off the handle. He flew, like just lost it. And I knew right then, that was when I knew something was going on. So, and that was that. I mean, after that, it was just all downhill from there, to be quite honest. Everything started showing up. And then, you know, you had
not just intuitive knowledge that something just is fishy here, but you also started to see tangible evidence of,
yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. And yes. Now, as a bereavement counselor and mm-hmm. a certified hypnotherapist, where you're clinically trained and you've dedicated your professional life, which is why mm-hmm. I also find this an intriguing mm-hmm. juxtaposition. You know, you've really dedicated your life to really meet clients and help them transform their lives mm-hmm. so that they can heal and mm-hmm. release trauma.
Right? Yeah.
Right. Yes. Is this a summarization of the goals of much of hypnotherapy? Yeah. You find yourself now in a state where you're like, wow, here I am now the poster child of one of my potential clients. So how has that journey been for you now that it's been a few 4 years and you're still going through it? And you know how to start to heal, but yet the feelings come, right? They're still mm-hmm. real. Can you summarize how that is? And I want you to share that with you to the level you're comfortable is, because I know working with clients every day, they start mm-hmm. to think they're going crazy. Like, what's wrong with me? Why am I falling apart?
And you know what's interesting? As you were saying that, I was thinking, I thought you were going to ask me the question, like how a person like you could not see what was going on or see, you know. So that was for me one of the things that nothing prepares you for that. You know, there's the five stages of grief, you know, and I kind of added my own two more stages.
Well, you have poetic license to do that. And for everybody who doesn't know what the five stages of grief are, they're denial. And then again, they're not linear. Then you have sadness. Right. And anger that can oscillate back and forth, and then negotiation, and then finally acceptance.
Right. Well, there is so there's denial, there's anger, the bargaining, there's depression, and then the acceptance. Mm-hmm. So my new thought of it is, number one is shock and denial. Mm. Number two is pain and guilt. Number three is anger and bargaining. Mm. Number four is depression. Number five is the upward turn is, it's when you you remove yourself from the whole thing and you look at the situation and go, okay, I'm better off because I see what was happening and it wasn't right. I didn't like it. You know, you kind of see everything from a more clear perspective, because when you're in it, like you were saying, you know, how has the journey been, and being educated in, you know, cognitive behavior, I could barely help myself. I mean, I think I want to say close to losing my dignity. I almost did. So, and then number six is the reconstruction and the working through. And you really have to do that with yourself. Mm-hmm. It's really, you know, something that has to be done with you and only you, not with anybody else. And then the last is number seven, is acceptance and hope. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, I think that it was really shocking. And sometimes, and then there's no answers, and there's disregard, there's ignorance, there's shame, there's embarrassment, there's, I want to say, you know, a lot of it's a lot of narcissistic behaviors that come at you that you're not really aware of. So, you know, people will say a narcissistic behavior. I call it just a behavior disorder that anybody could have at any time. I mean, without reason, we don't know. I mean, it's obviously it stems a lot from their childhood, their past. Doing hypnotherapy, that's exactly what I do, is try to get into the more modern memory and erase the shit that's from their past that just doesn't belong to them anymore. And so honestly, it was really shocking. And I look back sometimes and I think, how did I get through those months? Because I really felt like I was going crazy. He was telling me I was crazy. He was telling me I was delusional. And I think back as a child, when you're a child and your parent is telling you you're a certain way, you just kind of believe it. And honestly, I lost myself in the marriage. I lost myself because I started to see myself through his eyes and not my own, or not God's, you know? So yeah, it's a hard thing to accept in the beginning. And now I look back and I think there was more. And there's days up today that I'll sometimes think, oh my gosh, I can't believe he did that. So, and the reason why I think it takes so long, and like you were saying, there's no linear time frame, because there isn't. You know, we all heal on our own time, and we all go through these stages, you know, some longer than others. So there's two stages of death. I don't know what those are, but there's other stages. And I think that for one thing, it really is hard to keep sound, you know, and all you can do is just kind of, I mean, it's just kind of, hate to say this cliche, but like just bite down and just do it, you know, just go through those stages. I didn't know about this until later, but going through it, I don't know how I got through. I was dry heaving over, you know, the toilet some days. I lost 20 pounds in probably less than 6 weeks. And at the same time, I was forcing him to be away. Like, I didn't want to be around him. I didn't want to talk to him, but I loved him so much. And I just couldn't believe this was happening. You know, it was devastating. And it was, to him, it was like, no big fucking deal. It was like, I'm gonna brush my teeth. You know, I mean, if I would have seen him hurting the way that I was hurt, I would have been a lot more compassionate, and there was just nothing there. And it's hard to understand. It really is, because there's no answers. There's all denial. I mean, I would ask him a question and he just look at me blank sometimes in the face. And I just be like, oh my God, how is this my life? Like, what did I do wrong? You know? And that's where the guilt and then the anger comes in. So it's a tough one. That's a tough one. You know, you think you are prepared or that you'll be okay, but it's not, there's nothing that can prepare you for something like that.
Mm. Yeah. And it's very difficult to describe because mm-hmm. As you're talking about it, I can see that it's difficult to find the words. It's difficult yes. to explain the emotions. It's difficult to describe the kinesthetic visceral feelings that you yeah. have, you know, in your body. So is it a stomach ache? Is it a heart palpitation? Is it right. a lump in the throat? Is it a headache? Is it just, you know, jittery, like you've had 9 cups of coffee? Are you exhausted mm-hmm. and you feel like you could sleep 9 days and you'd still not get enough rest. It just, you're not hungry. You lose weight. Your coping mechanisms where you're, you know, binging on food and alcohol and just, you know, I've seen everything being a certified divorce coach over the last handful of years, just seeing yeah. all those coping mechanisms. So whoever wrote that original book, and it's in my book, and I'm forgive me for having brain damage, but there was 5 original steps by the person that wrote the 5, stages of grief. I love how you
have Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
What's his name again?
Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Thank you. So yeah, yeah. I love how you've kind of, without her permission, God bless you, it doesn't matter. You can have it be 32 stages of grief, ladies. Like,
right.
it doesn't
exactly.
matter.
Exactly, like, whatever you want.
Because the original creator said, oh, everybody, by the way, there's 5. And again, when I say it's not linear, it's not like a road. It might go up, it might go down. Maybe you feel grief, then you feel sadness. Then you go back to grief, then you feel sadness.
Oh, yeah.
It isn't like rungs of a ladder. It's right. and there's maybe a skipped gradient where maybe one of the right. rungs is missing, and then right. oops, you got to go back to that. So I love how you, and I'm going to have you tell me that and put it in the show notes, because I really love the way you kind of took the 5 and made it 7 and added it. There's also a book called the 6th Stage of Grief. I forget the person mm-hmm. that wrote that book, but it's in my book, but called Better Divorce Blueprint. But that is, what is the lesson? Because if you go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or however many stages you feel there are, and you're not learning anything, there isn't a lesson, you're going to repeat it again.
Yeah.
Right. That's amen, everybody. Like, you've got
yeah, to amen know. Is right.
Why did I get there in the first place? So that you can say, what did I learn? So with that said, I digress. I segue. What lessons have you learned? And I know you're not done yet, but so far, what lessons have you learned? If you could give everyone listening in a little box the gift of your lessons, what would they be?
One big one. And I think the only one that we do not place enough attention on, which is why I started the Instagram, is expressing yourself and the way you feel. Get rid of the shame, get rid of the guilt, the embarrassment, and just fucking say whatever you want to say about how you feel, because it hurts. It's real. It's painful. You feel guilty for something you didn't even do because he's telling you that you are guilty of it. You feel like you were a failure in your marriage. You feel like you're not sexy enough or good enough. And it's just not true. It's just not true. It's all fear-based. And it's, you know, fear is false evidence appearing real. It's just not, it's what he has been telling you that we take on and believe and go, okay, well, I guess I'm not good enough. And I guess it's okay that he's off with this woman and that woman and spending our money. And it fucking pisses you off. I mean, it pissed me off. So, you know, what I like to call it, one of my friends that started the Instagram after 10 posts, she knew that I wanted to do a post. I just couldn't get it started. So she got it started for me. And she's a dear friend. And she actually came up with the May Divorce Be With You, which I thought was brilliant and why I said, okay, I'll take it on. So, and I took it on very early on. And I really love her for that, for doing that for me. I started it because I took it on and continued it because it's recreational anger. And I think that we need that. I really think that we need to be okay with anger. I think we need to be okay with being pissed off. There's nothing wrong with it. And there's so much shame around it. And, oh, you're not right if you do, or, oh, you're not this if you do. There's really not any way to be. It is just be who you want to be and say what you want to say, because in the end, look what happens. I mean, people are going to do what they want to do anyway. So, and I know it's for women, we don't get married to get divorced. Sometimes I think that men do. I don't, and I love men. I'm like you. I heard you in one of your podcasts, which I loved, by the way, the one with the Money Out Loud. That was brilliant. I don't hate men. I think some men are amazing. And I think that some are just really damaged and need help. And I would love to help them, but you know, again, they need to help themselves. But people, that disorder always needs somebody. So it's a big mess. They really create chaos. So if they're going to keep creating it, we just need to keep thriving it, you know, to be quite honest. So I love what you're doing. So.
Well, I am in love with that concept or that phrase that you just said, recreational anger.
I
don't know that anger is either a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a thing.
And no, it's really good. Women, it's good for us. It's healthy.
Well, we as women are taught that anger is bad and we should not lose our cool, and we should stay like a refined, sophisticated, elegant lady and mind our P's and Q's. We'll put on a little black dress, and can't you just sit there and smile and be pretty and not show your emotions? And years of feeling that way, eventually you go, no, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm done. Now, it is okay to have anger, and it is okay to be honest, and it is okay to be authentic with yourself. And yes, there are things that we can do that are more productive, and there are things that we can do that are more destructive with our emotions and our truth. But I believe that loyalty doesn't mean keeping secrets and sweeping them under the rug, whether that be a marriage or whatever. You know, there's a way of doing it. So when you come to your podcast and your Instagram, which, you know, thousands of people are following, it is a very healthy way for you. I'm going to say anonymously, because we don't know who he is and all. And you know, maybe there's a couple people that could put two and two together and like, whatever, you know.
And you know what? That's okay. I mean, and you know what? That's the other thing is, if they're going to do this, I don't believe in, I mean, I don't believe in bashing them, but you know, he still thinks it's about him, and it's really not. It's like, This is bigger than you, mister. You know, there's a lot of shit that's going on in the world with women. And I think that, you know, it's just time that we talk about this and recreationally.
Your point is that it's a healthy, authentic, viable tool for women or men, everybody. You know, this is
right for men too.
To be able to really feel their feelings. I mean,
you have to.
The word feelings has the word feel in it, but yet we do everything to avoid feeling our feeling.
Yeah.
Does that make
right.
sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. You have to go, you have to, in order to get through it, you have to go through it. You have to feel it. If you're not feeling it, there's something wrong. You're holding stuff in, you're repressed. And then it starts to affect your body and your mind and your spirit and your everything. And, it's not a healthy way to be. And, you know, it's really hard, because I think more women are getting, you know, more savvy to just, you know, just expressing yourself that it's okay. But it's hard, because even for me, I was anonymous because I was embarrassed that this was happening to me. And I will tell you, in the beginning, I had no idea how many followers I would get. I mean, I grew really fast. Within less than a year, I had 6,000 followers, and then all of a sudden there was 1,000 more and more, and then it just grew. But it's funny that my friend who started the Instagram said to me, I'm not getting your posts anymore. And I said, oh, I wonder why. She's like, well, it's a whole thing on Instagram, this whole like men, they start to like censor you and everything. So I had started to lose followers, and then they started sending me something that I needed to be business. And so I just said, you know what, I'm going to keep it as it is. I don't care if I lose followers. I'm just keep doing it. I don't, because it's not, that's not the reason why I'm in it. I want,
yeah,
right. So but I love my followers. They're very vocal, and I'll stand up to anybody. Men go on there, and I'll, whatever I say and post is exactly how I have felt or have talked to somebody or a client. Or people DM me all the time, and it's amazing how, they just don't know. There's women that are 25 years old, married to 50-year-old men who are in the same situation that I am. And it's just bizarre. It's like, when they have those double lives or, so there's just, there's a lot of shit going on out there. And I just want to bring,
well, you put that bring it to very attention. Mildly, my dear. Yep. No.
I mean, the only good thing about it is that all the women are with the older men. So there's a lot of young men out there waiting for people.
I love it. So as a hypnotherapist and or a wellness advocate professional, mm-hmm. we talked a lot about that one of the lessons you learned was that you need to express your anger, that it was creative, practical way, right? So, but right. What are the risks of holding in our emotions and not expressing ourselves? And
anxiety.
I as a professional, yeah. Not just an experienced woman. So what do you see the risks being?
Anxiety, depression, suicide, mental health issue, brain damage. And you literally get a PTSD. You literally get brain damage when you are with a narcissistic personality who keeps telling you something that is not... doesn't correlate with your morals, but we stay in it anyway because we believe and trust this person. Like, one of your things that women do that they shouldn't do, and that's trusting and believing that they're going to do the right thing, and they don't. They don't always do the right thing. And I think that that's, for me anyway, I think that that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I'd love to run through that list. I wrote a piece, of course, those of you that follow me and know me, like I love to write. And so I wrote a blog post called The 12 Worst Divorce Mistakes Women Make. And number one, in my opinion.
And I did all of them.
Number one is that we trust our spouse to do the right thing. It isn't so much that they are going to do the right thing or they aren't going to do it, but it's the fact that we go into it making the mistake that we trust that they are absolutely positively going to do the right thing. That's the mistake. So we'll go through the other 11, but with that said, now I just want to touch and continue on this, I want to clarify a little bit, because as I listen to you tell your story about him, like, I believe there's a phenomenon, and there's a book called Runaway Husbands, and I think there's another book called Walkaway Wives, where, and I don't necessarily see it as a man-woman thing or a husband or a wife thing, but somebody really at a point, and it's somewhere between 17 years of marriage and 24 years of marriage, or the average, I'm seeing a bit of a phenomenon or an epidemic, shall you call, where someone just feels like they are leaving out of the blue. They won't see a therapist. They won't see a counselor. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to try to fix it. They haven't really had any conversations, difficult conversations. And it's a spontaneous decision. Like, here's my Boston accent. I'm out of here.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's, I could be wrong, but I am seeing more. Like, I'm done. But they don't even want to try to go to fix it or counseling because, you know, 70% of divorce is filed by women. And much of marital counseling is successful, but to what point? So did you feel that that was the case or is it not your case? And if it is, it is, if it isn't, it isn't, but I'm curious.
We did try to go to counseling, but you know, the worst thing for somebody who doesn't want to try, I think that, you just don't keep asking, just get yourself to therapy. I mean, I had a psychiatrist, I had a therapist, I had a spiritual healer. I needed somebody, I had a life coach. Every single day I needed somebody because I couldn't be with what was happening. And I think that that's what happens with this phenomenon you're talking about. It's really true. It's factual because, you know, we have four parts of the mind. It's divided in four parts. And there's the first one is the primitive.
Teach us, hypnotherapist. Teach us. I want to know. What is
that? So the first part is the primitive, and that's the part of the subconscious and that's established from birth. And it contains a fight or flight response and imagine like the fear of falling and loud noises. And then we have the modern memory, which is also a part of the subconscious. It's like our comfort zone and it contains all of our memory. And the third part is the conscious area. It's formed around the age of 8 or 9 and it filters messages through units. And it either accepts it or rejects it. And so the fourth is the critical area, and that's formed around the same time, 8 or 9, and it filters messages and it accepts or rejects them from entering the modern memory area. If the critical mind is overwhelmed, it breaks down and it starts to become, it's overwhelmed and it starts to cause, it's almost like the opposite of positive hypnosis. It's like, it gives you the other thing of being overwhelmed and anxiety and, oh my God, like you just keep going and going. So it's actually does you no good. And so I use different modalities depending on who I'm dealing with and how I'm dealing with them and what they're dealing with. But in those four areas, they all interact with each other. And what we want to do is there's a couple things we want to do, but most important, I think that for someone who is going through this, let's say it's a man, 45, 46 years old, and something triggers him, you know, he's tired, he's sick of working, or he sees a friend that's doing amazing, being single and having fun, and he wants to have a piece of that. So he's going to try little things and he's get away with it. And then all of a sudden it's becomes bigger than he expected. And then all of a sudden with all those, you know, units are overwhelming his mind. And he just kind of says, okay, well, I'm out of here. And it's hard for them to go to get help because it's really hard for them to revisit where the actual pain came from. Because it's not from the woman, it's not from the divorce, it's not from the marriage, it's something from the past, it's something from his mother, his father, it's and her, his or her, and we all have it, nobody escapes, we all have shit that, you know, it just depends on how we want to deal with it or not deal with it. And when we don't deal with it, the consequences are anxiety, depression, overwhelm, because, you know, a man will also be in the same depression, anxiety while he's going through this whole thing. So he could easily take himself out, but there's something about that feels good for him, you know, and that could be from his past. Maybe he was rewarded for behaviors that were meaningless. So he does meaningless things. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. No.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really painful for them to all of us for sure. But I think women are more open to wanting to feel good. I know for me, I'm a little bit like of a nerd, research nerd. So I go deep and really hard. I go way in, like, why is this happening? Okay, so why is that? And why is that? So I just keep going. But for the most part, I think men don't want to know. They don't, they want to do the whole, oh, let's sweep it on the rug and pretend like it's not happening. And that's mm-hmm. the worst thing you can do. And I think that's why women live longer than men. So that's, you know, that's just my experience with my clients. And I wish, you know, I've had men walk out of a session. And so I now tell, when I think that my client is dealing with a narcissistic personality or a dysfunctional, toxic relationship, I tell her not to bring him, because I don't want, what they do is they'll try to manipulate the situation. I had my husband come into my psychiatrist and said, something's wrong with her. And my psychiatrist looked at him and said, there's nothing wrong with her. Mm. So, you know, because of that, that's exactly why I'll say, don't bring him. I want to talk to you first. Because I always say, like, I'm a mental detector. you know, I can figure out if this person's mental or not, you know, like, and I'm laughing about it because we all are, you know, and that's another thing. There's no shame in mental health or being, you know, mentally ill. I mean, the shit's real, and we're mentally ill because we're not being listened to. We're not being heard. We're being told we're crazy. We're being told we're delusional. We're being told lies to our face. And then people are doing the opposite. And it is a phenomenon, by the way. So
right.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. And I know that's a big topic to cover. We could probably go into, you know, phenomena.
That's a whole other.
It is. But I mention it because I have been asked it a lot lately. I've quite a few clients. I have one that's a 51-year marriage, just very strange, up and left. I mean, once you figure 51 years, a lot in their 30 years, 33, 35, 37, 38, 39 years, marriage, different clients. And the 20 year is kind of the 17 to 20, 22 years is sort of the typical. And mm-hmm. then I get a lot of 9 to 11 year, where, you know, they used to call it the 7 year itch.
I've seen
a lot of the 7 year itch lately. I see more of the 9 to 11.
Yeah, 9, 10. And you know, it's interesting because a lot of times they don't even know. They don't know that what they need. They just think that they need more attention from because their wives are raising children or have their own thing going on. And, you know, for them, it's like, oh, I'm not getting the attention. They don't have the words. They don't have the communication skills. They were never given, you know, as a child, you know, in our childhood, we have these stages that we need to succeed and get through it with attention, compassion, understanding. And if we're not getting that, let's say once we pass the age of 7, where the critical mind is forming, then all of a sudden it's like you missed out. You know, you basically missed out on how to successfully complete completing communication, you know. So then there's no communication. It's just like, oh, I'm just gonna up and leave because I don't have any words. I'm just gonna go. So you know, that's, I mean, there's a lot. It just depends. In all cases are different. And there's a lot of abuse that goes on behind it. And it doesn't have to be on the outside physically abused. It's interesting. I had a lawyer, one of my lawyers said to me, you know, I was physically abused. And she goes, I'm really sorry that you're going through what you're going through. She said, I was physically abused. I was emotionally and psychologically and mentally abused. She said, I would have taken those three. I would have taken the physical over those three anytime. And I was blown away by that because I've never been physically abused. But I thought, wow, okay. You know, it all made sense, you know, because it really can take you for a ride.
And coming from someone who experienced physical abuse, you would assume mm-hmm. that they would think, what's that saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me.
Right.
I disagree. And it's interesting
I agree.
You mentioned the stages of childhood. If a child is ignored, neglected, basically raising themselves and really mm-hmm. is feeling not like they're paying the mortgage, like I didn't mean it, you know, but they're self-reliant out of necessity. Meals, laundry, just like picking up the house and they just, you know, way beyond their years. And there mm-hmm. really is that lack of understanding, compassion and attention. It immediately mm-hmm. sets the child up for codependency. And then their entire value is now like, well, I can only be happy if so-and-so is happy, whether that be mother, father, grandmother, sister, spouse, my kids. It's a matter of really like, oh, and I start to see that pattern a lot with divorce. Like, well, I can't fill in the blank, whatever the emotion is or the action, because what will somebody else think of me? Or what are they going to do? You know, it's that feeling of responsibility for others. I segue a little bit now into support so we don't go too far. You know, we mentioned that it's, you know, a lot of people just say like, oh, come on, like move on, get over it. Like, it's not that big a deal. Maybe they don't use those words, but there's that.
No, they do. They do.
Right. For either they haven't gotten divorced before or had a serious breakup or not a loss. And again, divorce really is a catalyst for change. It isn't a catastrophe if you don't make it that one. It's like, oh, I got a whole new life now. Not that I'm advocating you get divorced 5 or 6 times just so you can be reborn. Like, that's not where I'm going with that. But to those people that really are happily married or are single and they have a friend or a family member who's going through a divorce or a loss, and they have a hard time with being supportive, chances are they probably would not be listening to this podcast. So, but, you know, for people that really do have compassion or empathy and they're just not sure what to say, like what support or what advice would you give them about the best way to be supportive, having a friend or family member go through divorce?
You know, I would say to listen to them as what they're saying is true, because it is true for them, no matter what. If it's not true or didn't happen a certain way for the other person, it really did happen this way for the person who's, you know, that you're needing to support. So you really need to treat it that way, because divorce represents a loss. I mean, you have to allow yourself to mourn. People need to treat this person like they have the death, like somebody has died, basically. You know, so that's what I would say is, you know,
yeah,
be really, you know, you have to really look at it that way and really just everything that they're saying, just believe it. It's true because it's true for them. Don't make them feel like they're crazy or that it's not happening or that, you know, this charming man is not the person who would do that. No, they will. And it's interesting because a friend of mine was going through this before I did. And I literally thought, wow, I can't believe that he's like that. But I know she can be a little bit like, you know, out there, but I understand why now, you know, and I understood when it happened and I didn't realize. I went back to her and I said, you know, I want to apologize to you for not really listening to you and hearing you while you were going through this. I didn't realize it until now. And so I really apologized to her, and she was really okay with it. But, you know, it's not, because I didn't have a lot of support, because we tend to hide. We tend to not want to be seen. We tend to not, you know, want anybody to look at us. I remember going to a school function, and I saw this woman and I just broke down in tears. And so, you know, it's like I secluded myself, and I just removed my, people would see me and they're like, oh my God, you're so skinny. It's like, you know, so it's just, we never know what people are going through. So I think that, you know, and the same for the man who is doing what he, or the woman who's doing what they do, walk away, run away, whatever they're doing. We don't know what it's like for them, but I will tell you that they need to have a lot more compassion for what is happening in their life. They can't just go, oh, well, this is happening, or they have to, you know, that's really important, is for them to get help. But going back to people that need to support or need something to help, I would give them that, is just, you know, listen to them as everything what they're saying is true, believe what they're saying, and help them the best you can. And the 5 to 7 stages of
grief. However many stages you feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, 400 people. Stages of grief, or yeah. Well, I am so thrilled that you spent this time with me. Everybody, listen to her podcast, Cocktails on the Rocks, and check out her Instagram, Divorce on the Rocks. One last question about hypnotherapy. Can it be done virtually?
Yes. Yes, it can. I do a lot virtually. And it can be done on the phone.
Okay.
I use a lot of different modalities.
So if some of them are curious about hypnotherapy, everybody, you can check out her work on www.adrianbernadette.com. You'll learn about her, her story, her work, her professional experience, and you will get a glimpse into a really beautiful, brilliant woman who is a thriver, not a survivor.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. And I'll also put in the show notes that PDF of the 12 worst mistakes women make in divorce.
Please. You know, I just want to say one thing really quickly. So there's a few things that that really help. And, you know, like the blueprint that you have, like, really is helpful. And I think learn to forgive yourself. Learn to forgive yourself, because we really get unhappy about the choice that we made, and we start to get down on ourselves. So just we have to always continue to reassure ourselves that what happened was based on unforeseen circumstances, and try to, you know, rediscover yourself. Just do things differently. And I mean, there was a couple other things. Embrace your new roles in life. Consider transitional relationships. No dating, no rebound dating. It just, be with you, date yourself, figure out who you are, why you had it, and cry. Tears are literally therapeutic. And I know I said one thing, but I'm just kind of going over a couple of things that I really wanted to make sure, because sometimes I literally wish somebody would have held my hand and said, okay, here, do this, and then do this. And that's something I'm working on right now. You know, read astrology, read about your birth sign, who you are, what, you know, really get to know yourself, listen to music, dance, do mindless things, play solitaire online. It's just take every day, minute by minute, literally. Be gentle on yourself, because there's a lot of things that are hard enough around.
And learn what's to happening. Realize that going it alone and toughing it out, just for the sake of stoicness and, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I'm a tough ass and I don't need anyone, is, yeah. not a healthy thing. Find the support that you need. whether that be social media or a mm-hmm. neighbor, a friend, a professional, you're not alone. Don't go it alone. Get the professional guidance, support, cheerleading, advocacy that you need. It is a very emotional, expensive, time-consuming, draining, exhausting experience when you go through it alone. But when you find the right professionals, such as a hypnotherapist, such as a certified divorce coach, a real estate professional, a mortgage professional, the right attorney, a financial that gets it, you know, a mental health practitioner, a parenting expert, whatever part of the puzzle is missing, where you feel that part of your life is really being neglected or erased because of the divorce, this is impeccable mistake.
Get support, and anybody can email me anytime. I do free 30-minute consultations. I'll go longer if I need to. I just need to figure out what's the best approach if they want to go forward. And but I do answer emails also, and because sometimes we just need a question, you know, like, is it okay to keep wondering about why I can't figure out what's going on and he's lying, but I'm seeing this. And sometimes we just need answers. And sometimes, you know, and I used to hate when people would say to me, well, you're just not going to get it. Yes, I am. I'm going to get it. Even if it's that he's just, excuse my language, fucked up and doesn't want to admit to it. Whatever it is, you just need to have that. So that's what I'm there for too.
I couldn't agree more. You are inspiring, and I thank you for this time. I hope everyone listening has felt a little bit more normal than anybody going through divorce. It's okay to have anger. It's okay to have sadness. Every emotional reaction is acceptable as long as it is not harming yourself or anyone else, and make sure.
Be and love every part of yourself, the ugliest parts of yourself. Love them and protect them, because that's who you are. And
pay no attention to the critical, dismissive, alienating people in your life. Like, just keep moving forward and creating your next chapter.
Well, yeah, I'll actually send you something. There's a book that I want to recommend for everybody. It's called Love Wants to Find You. And I'll send you the information on that so that you could put it in the notes.
Excellent. Love Wants to Find You. I like that. Right. Well, everybody, enjoy your day. Keep thriving in the chaos. No matter what, you're not alone. You will get through this. And if you feel like you need some recreational anger, start a social media page.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in. And make sure if you want to talk to us or ask us questions, you can always email us at thrivinginchaospodcast@gmail.com. See you next week.